Could you just tell me what you do at the school and how long you've been there?
Yeah, so I've been there for about the past 3 years, and I started a music production program within the music business department there. So I teach students how to make records.
Oh, cool.
How to record songs, yeah.
That's very interesting. How many students would you say you have?
Oh, gosh, it varies from semester to semester. I think that normally we end up with about 20 of them in our department as a whole.
So do you enjoy it?
Yeah, I love it. I really do. I spent most of my young adulthood, I was in a band. We were signed to Sony. We toured the country. We got to see the world, got to experience a lot of different facets of music business, everything from playing shows down to copyright and publishing, all of the unfun paperwork and legality of things. And so it kind of seems like a really fun fit.
You know, setting aside the community life covenant for a moment, what's your time been like at the school?
You know, I think it's hard because I came on in a time of crisis. I came on around 2014, you know, when they were trying to figure out if they were merging or not with Point University. My wife has worked at the college for, gosh, almost, I think at least 10 years, if not more. So when I came on, it was a dark time.
It was a dark time.
It was kind of a scary place to be because everyone was getting either let go or fired left and right. And I had this thought as I was looking around and thinking of how fortunate I was that I wasn't one of the people losing my job and that I was just kind of coming on here. And I thought, you know, I really want to do everything I can to be a part of this community, to at least in some small way try to help ensure that these kinds of days don't happen on campus anymore, and to kind of help grow it from the inside out. And I thought at the time that I maybe could play a small part in helping to do that within our department.
So that was then, and now you have this decision, and you've made the decision not to sign this covenant, from what I understand, and
so like it's a little complicated because to answer your question before, there was something about that being on the brink of death that kind of galvanizes people, and I can certainly say that within our department, everyone that teaches in the music department and in the music business department, I have never worked with such a kind and caring and unified group of people. I've loved every single moment that I've been in that department. And I think a lot of students would say that about a lot of their professors that they have, that one of the things that makes Montreat is the community, the group of professors that you have here who really do humanize the college experience for a lot of these students. And I think now that that community, once this covenant was kind of came down and mandated, it fractured a lot of that.
Yeah, you said you've enjoyed every moment with your department and you guys are very unified. Has that changed at all since all of this controversy?
Not really. I think our department as a whole, you know, us as individuals, feel even more galvanized maybe in our friendship with each other. But in terms of a department, you know, I'm leaving. Several of my friends are leaving. Some of my adjunct friends are leaving. It's fractured it. It's taken away our ability to work together, because now some of us just don't have employment there anymore.
When did you hear about this covenant?
I want to say it was about a year and a half ago. I know that that's floating around in the media that, you know, it's 2.5 years ago we started talking about this. I think maybe administration and maybe the board started talking about it before we as faculty started talking about it. And so I heard that something like this was happening and they decided to hold listening sessions. And so I decided to come to the listening sessions to kind of see what it was all about.
So why did you decide that you could not sign this? And I believe it's not just you, but also your wife decided the same thing. Is that right?
Right. I think for me personally, it seems like an overreach on an employer's part to mandate these kinds of things, to kind of marry these religious mandates into people's personal lives. I think that's a really slippery slope and kind of a scary thing to be a part of. I think it was hard because I had heard them at the beginning of this process say that they really wanted for these documents to be indicative of how beautiful our community was and something that was affirming to the community that we had here. And it's just not playing out that way. If that was the true intention, I think the mark was missed pretty severely. You know, there are things within the covenant that my wife and I, although we are professing Christians, are just not willing to come down and say, yep, this is the only interpretation, this is exactly what it means, and these are the implications, and we're fine with all of that. Our faith is something that we feel like is sacred and more important than that. And, you know, it's like you don't wear the same T-shirt that you wear as an adult that you wore when you were five. It's really uncomfortable. I think faith is the same way. I'm uncomfortable with the faith that I had 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 6 months ago. it's that's part of the human experience. It's growing and learning, and your understandings of things and of the world and of people are constantly shifting and changing. And I think to freeze it at a moment in time and to say that this is the thing we want to double down on, I think it's kind of a dehumanizing practice.
Would you say that over the years that your views on same-sex marriage and perhaps abortion have evolved?
So I grew up in a very Protestant Southern household. And so when I was younger, a lot of those subjects were taboo. And as I got older and said, well, you know, I really just have to kind of decide for myself and not just kind of regurgitate what the Protestant culture around me is telling me is correct. Yeah, I completely flip script on that. I can totally see why people that read the Bible and want to take it literally and have very specific perspectives on it believe those things. And I think it's completely fine, and I think it's rational to want to believe those kinds of things. But at the end of the day, whenever you take a belief and you force it on someone else, you actually take away a person's choice. And I think that choice is one of the most spiritual things that we have. It's one of the most important and sacred things that we're given. Because if you don't have choice, then you don't have anything to choose for or against.
I'm not sure how much things like same-sex marriage get discussed on Montreat's campus. I imagine probably not that much because, you know, you're focusing on music and many other things. But from your perspective, do you think that the views expressed in the covenant are the prevailing attitude at the school, or is it out of step, do you think, with the staff and the students?
I think that administration has kind of doubled down on this narrative that an overwhelming majority of the people here completely agree with the covenant or are totally on board with everything that it says. But I think the story is a lot deeper than that. Even people that completely agree with everything in the covenant and that don't have a problem signing it, I think there's a lot of those people that still kind of feel like, well, but we really shouldn't mandate other people to sign it. You know, those are my beliefs, but I certainly would never want to impose them upon people who are also identifying as Christian.
Was it a difficult decision to not sign?
It was, because I started this program here, and because I've kind of, over the past few years, really developed a love for educating. I didn't have a lot of strong role models at that age, and we kind of got thrown into the music industry very quickly. We made a lot of mistakes because we didn't have a lot of guidance and we didn't have people that we could trust. And so part of what I saw my place being here was filling in that gap, was trying to be what I didn't have at that age within this department.
Did you consider taking like Nathan's approach where he, you know, he's not for this, but he ended up signing it, you know, for financial reasons and, you know, kind of, I guess, taking the approach where it's like, you know, I could sign this, but they can't really force me to believe it.
Yeah, and Nate is a dear friend of mine. He's a fantastic person. It's hard one way or the other. I just so happen to be in a situation where I'm not financially dependent on the college. Working in the music industry, you have your hands in a lot of different things. and notoriously, you know, all around the world, adjunct pay is pretty low. So a lot of what people do at colleges this size are passion projects. They do it because they feel passionately, and a lot of them just kind of float just above the poverty line, even within higher ed. So yeah, I think it breaks my heart that people like Nate are put in that situation where they have to make a decision financially or what's, you know, they have to make a decision that benefits their family and keeps food on the table. And I think that that's just such a harmful and destructive way to treat people, to put people in those kinds of situations for whatever reason.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question was, you know, was it going to be an easy financial move for you? And I mean, it's not just you, but also your wife who's losing her job as well. I was going to ask if you have kids and what you guys are going to do next and whether or not you'll be okay?
I think that we'll be okay. My wife is a counselor, so we're just kind of feeling for jobs in the area. Like I said, I've got a lot of projects that I'm working on right now outside of the college, production projects. I think that's one of the things, is that we never wanted money to play into that equation. And anytime that there are big life decisions to be made, I think we do our best to keep money off the table and say, well, what is it that we really want to follow on principle? You know, what do we feel like is the right decision if we take money out of it? And I feel like we're incredibly fortunate to be in that position, because not everybody is.
Corey told me, she basically confirmed for me what the news reports have been saying, that 8 faculty are leaving for this reason. And of course, there's kind of a dispute over that number, I guess, because the official number is 2 from the school. What have you heard from colleagues?
I think the way those numbers get skewed, and I could be wrong in saying this, but I think that they only want to say who all's leaving who has admitted to administration that it is the covenant.
Okay.
But you have, I mean, it's a Christian college. I mean, admitting to your employer that you don't want to sign something might even jeopardize your ability for employment at another college. It seems like ever since this was introduced, there's been a whittling away of lots of folks, and the turnover rate here appears to be pretty high. And I'd be interested to see, actually, not just what happens this semester, but what happens next semester. I get the impression that there are a lot more faculty that are strategizing an exit plan.
Do you struggle with your faith when you confront issues like this? Does it make you question the bigger picture of things? Or are you very comfortable with that?
I'm becoming comfortable just with the constant questioning. I think at the end of the day, like my wife and I were talking about this last night, one of the most honest things I think anyone can say is, I don't know. I just don't know. I don't think that it's important or it's necessary for me as a person to double down on a stance about a person's sexuality. I think that people are human, and that's enough.
Yeah.
I think that we're all part of, we're all this creation. And I don't understand why we settle for arguments about lesser truths in our life. I don't care how people identify sexually or what their preferences are. I care about them as people.
So this kind of societal debate over gay marriage and things doesn't really separate you from your beliefs as far as, you know, your belief in God and stuff. You're still very comfortable with that. And is it something that's kind of separate?
I don't necessarily know if it's separate. I actually, for whatever reason, it feels like it all kind of works together. I feel very comfortable in my stance. I feel comfortable in saying that it's my Christian faith that informs this stance that I take, that I decide that these things for me are not important. And I totally understand how somebody that subscribes to the same faith could just be at a different place or be at a different understanding. I think that's kind of the beauty of it. I don't ever want to push someone away because they have a different understanding than I do. I feel like we wouldn't be in this situation maybe at the college if we were willing to do that for each other. I don't have to believe everything that you believe down to the T to work alongside of you and for us to be people together and for us to share something common and beautiful.
And your faith is Presbyterian still?
No, I'm nothing.
So that just means you just don't subscribe to a particular religion, but that doesn't change your belief system, I guess.
No, I would certainly say that I identify as a Christian. And I think that there's, within all of these denominations, there are really beautiful facets to them, and they are really humanizing and affirming things. Everybody's doing something well, and everyone's failing at something. And I think it takes all of us. I like to view Christianity from that much wider lens, I think, than the narrowing down of it, because I've only seen the narrowing down of the lens disenfranchise people and discourage people.
When's your last day?
I would have to look at the calendar.
Well,
I think everyone's graduating next weekend.
So yeah, I'm assuming, on the 13th. Yeah. So you're attending graduation, I assume.
I don't know.
Oh,
I
see.
I don't know if I'll be attending.
What do you think the last day will be like for you?
I think I've been trying to spread it out over the past few weeks. I found myself this week just kind of stopping by to mope around my office and look at some of the posters on the walls and look at some of the posters of some of the student bands that I've been teaching for the past few years, listening back through demos that have been recorded in our studio here.
So it's a time of reflection.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to do that. And I think it's probably going to hit me at some point, but I'm trying to just take a little bit at a time and ease my way out so that it doesn't feel as hurtful.
Well, Matt, those are the questions I had, I think. Is there anything else you want to say about it?
I really appreciate you digging in, asking great questions.